Wonderful is this wonderful blessing of Almighty God. Oh, I guess that's like Brother Branham used to say, once he gets by himself, he did the same thing, you know, down around the trees, he'd go like a wild Indian. And it's just so blessed to be a Christian. It's such a freedom, it's such a relaxation, it's such a peace, it's a joy that passeth all understanding. You look and you say, God, I'm free, I'm free. He that the Son made free is free to do, or free indeed, and I'm free. I'm actually free of my sins. A lot of people, you know, they feel like they sin every day, and they have to go to God every day and ask God for forgiveness of sin every day. And that's fine. I go to the Lord and I ask Him to forgive me of my trespasses and my sins and my wrongs and whatever you want to call it, you know. I ask Him to do that. But really, when I'm going to God to do that, I'm really thanking God. I go to God to thank Him because He did forgive me of my sins. And I go to God to thank Him because He did take away all of my anxieties of life and all of those things that could hurt me in life. See, to give Him praise and to give Him honor. We sing that song, give Him praise, all ye people. So then I go to the Lord that I might praise the Lord for what He's done for me. And I'm not just saved from one revival to another revival, and I'm not just inspired from one service to another service. Glory to God, I just chuckle on the inside because it's so sweet to me. You know, and it's so wonderful to me. It's joy unspeakable, the deep calling to the deep at the water spout of God. How do you know that we're God's water spout out of the wells of salvation? You can draw water with joy. And the great, wonderful Spirit of God that we cannot see with our eyes, that great deepness of God is calling to this deepness that you cannot see with your eyes. And at the water spout of God, the deep calls to the deep. See, and these wonderful things come forth. For out of the heart comes forth the joy and jubilance of Christian living. Out of the heart comes forth the issues of life. And the Bible says that we should do our diligence to keep our heart, because out of our heart comes forth the issues of life. You know, if a press is running, out of that press comes forth the daily issues of that newspaper. And as to what you are and what you're going to be and what God has for you in life, it comes forth as an issue of life daily out of your heart. And it's up to you as to what you do and what you say. So again, we go to talk about the Word of God. As to the hunger, as to the thirst, so is that God will give. Or if you hunger and thirst after the things of God, God will speak to you accordingly. But if you do not hunger and thirst, then He cannot speak to you. And we'll just exhort you a little bit, as we said, or we'll just preach to you a little bit, and that'll be it. But when you hunger and thirst, it's more than that, because from God, from the breasted one to Al Shaddai, comes forth this wonderful, wonderful milk of the Word and the deep revelations of Jesus Christ. Now, I remind you again of this. They asked Jesus, the disciples said, why do you speak to these people in parables? Seeing that Jesus was speaking to the people in parables, and the Bible said, without a parable spake He not unto the people. In that God is a spirit, anything that we might say would be parabolic, as to bring forth God. And seeing that everything in the earth is symbolic of that which is spiritual, and that the Bible said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. Then Jesus spake to them parabolic, because He knew they would crucify Him if He plainly spoke to them. And them not having eyes to see and ears to hear, how else could He speak to them anyway? So then He said things to them in parabolic speech. And then the disciples, to whom He had explained these things, as to telling them the wonderful mysteries, they said, why is it that you speak to these people in parables? He said, well, they said, they don't understand what you're saying. He said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it is given. So then, beloved friend, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I just turn right over here to Revelation 10, so we're going to read a little bit from Revelation 10. Chapter 10, the book of Revelation, the first verse. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, and when a lion roareth, And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hands and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Now, you know, sometimes wonder why that it was bitter to the belly. But if you remember, the Bible says that God put the old serpent on his belly. And the Bible said that all of the labor of the people, it's for the belly, because the belly craves it of them and the mouth craves it of them. So then we know that this thing is bitter to the belly, because the old serpent, the old generation of vipers today, is on their belly, and they're intellectually indoctrinated as to lust, as to covetousness, as to gullibleness, and their evaluation in life is wrong. And they don't understand. They cannot see when good comes, because they are a generation of vipers. And that means that the gospel is bitter to the belly. David said, let their table be made a snare unto them, eating and drinking in the last days, marrying and given in marriage. And the whole world, the Bible said, an adulterous generation, a sinful generation. So then we know that we're living in the last days. See, and we read here in Revelation 10, it says that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, we referred to this many times. What is this angel? As we just take a minute or two here, what is this angel? Who is this angel? What is being said here? It says that in the days of the voice. And yet, according to the Bible, these angels had trumpets. But this is where we learn what the Bible means when it says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. When we read in Revelation 8, when these seven angels came to get the trumpets, see, it indicated voices, that there were going to be some voices that was going to be in the land. So when we get down to the seventh trumpeter, it said in the days of the voice of this angel, or it says in the days of the sounding of this trumpeter. So then we find that these four angels, as of the seven, is sounded. The last three of these, it's called the woe, 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 which is the three woes of the book of Revelation. And between the second woe and the third woe, which is the sixth and the seventh trumpet, then this great angel intervenes with one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and he lifts his hand to heaven, and he swears by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And he said, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then this will be the finishing of the mysteries of God, where the Bible said, and the things of God have an end. So then that means that they can be comprehended. The world is ever learning, never coming to the truth knowledge. So then we find that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mysteries of God should be finished. Why should the mysteries of God be finished? Why is there a mystery of God to begin with? You know, we tell you that the original rendering says, and the secret of God shall be finished. And then we go back to where the Bible said, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret places of the Most High. So then we learn something here as to the mysteries of God. That if I abide in the shadow, what is the shadow of God? And Paul speaks of everything in the world being typical or symbolic, allegoric, which is called a type, or which is called a shadow. And he that abideth within the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret places. That is, if you can get into the types and shadows like Paul, then you can understand the revelation, because the shadow is the veil. And the veil has to be taken away. And getting into this, it will bring to you the wonderful mysteries of God. So then we see something great and mighty happening. What happened to Paul the apostle? He found out that at Calvary the veil had been rent in twain. And because the veil had been rent in twain, then he realized that you could enter into the holies of holies. That this veil that cut him off from the holies of holies, it was now gone. And we could enter right into the very presence of Almighty God. And being in the light, we could look back on the shadow and we could understand the revelational things of Almighty God. So then Paul saw everything as a typical or symbolic thing. So he waxed bold and he said, concerning the things that are present in the world, all of the invisible things of God as to the spiritual world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Now, this is because he entered into the revelation of the Lord. I have entered into the revelation of the Lord. I have gone beyond the veil. Brother Branham, one time laying on the bed there, something was said, would you like to see beyond the veil? He said it would do me so much good, and up beyond the veil he went. And he said he looked back and saw the veil, which is the body, laying there on the bed. And he entered up into this wonderful place to where he saw old friends and old acquaintance, people that had been converted under his ministry. And there they set him on a throne. And then he spoke of seeing Jesus. And then it was said he's up a little higher. Remember, the man child is caught up to the third heaven. And we've been teaching as of late concerning the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. Paul said, we are a teacher and a preacher. And instead of Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. And whenever I can, I try to teach these things. Out on the field, I have to preach evangelistic, because those people don't know anything about the mysteries of God, and we're just preaching conversion. But to you, it's given to know the mysteries, because it is the mysteries of God that's going to translate you into the marvelous kingdom of God. It is said here that at the sounding of the last trumpet. Now, when will this trumpet sound? We see that six of these trumpets sounded. Then it said, and Revelation 10 and 7, in the days of the voice of this last trumpeter. In this time or season, the Bible said the mysteries of God are going to be finished. Great is the mystery of godliness. For the Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back to himself. For great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, caught up into heaven. So then we see that it is a great, wonderful thing that is taking place. And where are the people? This is what excites me. A lot of people don't seem to be exciting. They're so busy eating and buying and selling and going, and so carnally minded as to that which is enmity to the spirit, that they're not excited. But folks, I'm excited, because when you get into this, then you get excited. You know, a person goes down to the race, horse races, car racing, whatever it is, they sit there. They really get excited, because that's their world of vanity. But with me, it's different. I get into the Spirit of God, and I see these great, wonderful things, and I see the changes, and I get so excited. And I get so excited that I forget to get up off of my knees. Sometimes I go there, like we say, we go there when we get home after service, and I get on my knees, and I get so excited, and I get so carried away, and I think, Lord, I can't leave from here. This is too exciting. You know, and sometimes, though I might doze or might not, whatever it might be, and then 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, I find myself sometimes not even wanting to get up then. But I see the light breaking through, you know, and I think, well, this is another day. We got to do something. But the excitement is so great that the night just passes away like it wasn't anything. And like Moses on the mountain for 80 days and night, it just went away like that, because he was in the presence of Almighty God. So then I get excited over these things. And when I come here to talk to you about them, I'm excited because these things are in my heart. And these things are in my life. And I've incorporated these things within my lifestyle. So I'm excited about it. All right, so then we see in Revelation 10 and 7 that the mysteries of God must be finished. Why must they be finished? Because the church must be translated. And the translation of the church depends on these mysteries. That's why it is so different with Paul. It's so different with him as to the ministry of Peter. For as the gospel was given to Peter, as to the Jews, so came the gospel unto Paul for the Gentiles as to go and get a bride. And it's so different that even Peter, Paul blamed him to his face. He confronted Peter and blamed him to his face because he said he was to be blamed in that he did not understand this great, wonderful mystery of God, even though he had the keys to the kingdom. And Paul brought out the allegoric types. And he asked the people, said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? And then he said to those people, if righteousness come by the law, Jesus Christ is dead in vain, because we already have the law. And then he reproved Peter, and the Bible said that as to this dissimulation, it was so great that even Barnabas was carried away with it. And Paul began to expound the gospel and preach concerning Hagar, the bondsmaid, and Sarah, the free woman, and began to preach the wonderful allegoric types to bring out the revelation to show just exactly where Peter was at and what Peter was doing in leading the people back into bondage under the bonds of the law. See, so I say to you from time to time, I say, folks, let's go back to Calvary. Let's get back to Calvary. Let's talk about Calvary. Let's talk about the wonderful things of God. What is this at Calvary? This angel is saying, and time shall be no more. What is this about Calvary? Who is this great angel with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea? There's never been a gigantic person like this, never. Never has there ever been an angel like this. But see, this takes us back to Calvary, where the mysteries are finished. And it takes us back to Calvary, where the veil has been rent in twain. And it takes us back to Calvary, where time is no more. When Peter said, yeah, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And where the Bible used the term that in the fullness of the dispensation of time, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman and made under the law. And the Bible said this was in the fullness of time. And when Jesus hang at Calvary like this between heaven and earth, as to say, and time shall be no more. For he said, Father, it is finished. And he fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. And I take you back again to Daniel's prophecy. When the angel stood there 483 years before and said, Messiah shall come, and Messiah shall make an end of sin. And of course, when you make an end of sin, that means time can be no more. Because time comes in with shadows. Time comes in, as we say, with the little dial clock. It comes in with shadows. And so from the expulsion, as in the garden, then time sets in because shadows comes in. Or that is to say, Satan, the intellectual power of infiltration, gets into the mind of humanity, gets into the body of humanity, and thus we see the veil of death. So the only way to eradicate this veil of death is to say the body as flesh, as beast, between the interspiritual being as to the inner man and God, then there has to be an eradication of the body. God, knowing that he couldn't just come down and destroy our body, he made him a body of his own. It was called the Son of God. God in his fullness tabernacled in that body. And God lifted that body up and he nailed it to Calvary and he smote it with all of his fury. And then the body of this death, Paul said, is no more. That took away the body of this death. Therefore, the body of this death is gone. As to the beast body, as to that that was called the bastard child, that is, he was made by sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so then the world passed away. Because with the end of sin, with the end of the law, that's the end of the world. And Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, as he got the revelation. As he looked back in the days of Noah to the first 2,000 years, he said, and these are they upon whom the ends of the world came. And the world was overthrown with water. And then in our day, or that is in the day of the Lord, when he was here on earth, we say our day because this is the day the Lord hath made. Then Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the end of the world have come. And so the second 1,000 years and the world passed away. So then a lot of times we get into the water, the blood, and the spirit, or we get into those things as to what the Bible speaks of, and when we say these bear witness in the earth, and we get into these things as to the revelation, as to show these things. But tonight we're speaking of the fullness of time. And in the fullness of time, the Bible said, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son that was made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them that was under the law. I like that song, redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed by grace divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign, for I have been redeemed, to redeem them that was under the law. Remember, the law brought a curse. How many of you are familiar with the fact that the law brought a curse? And everyone that's trying to keep the law, even those that were circumcised in the days of the Jews, were debtors to keep the whole law, which placed them under the curse. And in as much as no man has ever kept the law, or no flesh can be justified by the law, then all that's fallen from grace are under the curse. But we're not under the curse. See, because we're not fallen from grace. I'm not under the law. Jesus folded up the law. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle. The Bible said in the law shall in no wise pass till every jot and tittle is fulfilled. And Jesus came and fulfilled it and then said, Father, it is finished. And thus the law was folded up and laid away. And because it was laid away, that I'm not under the curse of the law. I say again, as I said to you this morning, sin comes by transgression of the law. Transgression of the law is sin. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. And where there is no transgression, there is no sin. And where there is no sin, there is no sting of death. And where there's no sting of death, there is no death. So then we pass from death unto life, and today we're alive forevermore. Let's give him a hand. 483 years, and Messiah came, and he made an end of sin. And then John the Revelator saw this, Saint John the Divine, and John said, he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of faith, the Word, it remains in him, the Christian. And the Christian cannot sin because he is born of God. Therefore he keepeth himself and the evil one toucheth him not. He cannot sin because he cannot transgress the law. I remind you again, Paul said, if the Gentiles by nature keep the law, shall they not then be justified rather than the Jews who have the law by letter and do not keep it? So then the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit in Christ, he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. And then he came into my heart, sealed my inner man as the Spirit, to where the evil one toucheth me not, never at any time does Satan ever touch me, because God has sealed me with light, and light and darkness hath no fellowship. So the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby thou art sealed, that is to say, as to the inner man, unto the redemption of the body, or until the change, as the Thessalonians change, which the Bible refers to as the purchased possession. The Lord has already purchased the body, he's already paid for it. But as Job said, I'll wait for my change. But the inner man has already gone through a new birth. And I remind you once again that the new man, that is the man on the inside, has gone through the new birth. And he has been born again. But you're out character man, this outside image, the body of this death, have not been born again. It cannot be born again because it is at enmity with God. It is flesh, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so then we know that the only way for this body to get in was for Jesus to pay the price for the redemption of this body and then take us on over to the Thessalonian change, which means the adoption to with the redemption of our body, or that is to come to the understanding of this revelational tutoring that there is a mystery and that the body has already been purchased, that it is the purchased possession, and that it's going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Well, that is to say, it is of Adam, the first man Adam, and in Adam all die. For the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But in that the Lord has redeemed us from the curse of the law, then death has been taken away. So then that means that I am free from the law of sin and death. And my body, it must go through a change. And it will go through a change. But in that adoption is by the law, then we have to wait till the Jews come back in, because they are the law of God. And they're on the law side. And when the law went out, the Jews went out. So then that means that we must wait for the law, in that if the casting away of the Jews at Calvary was the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? We are waiting for the Jews to come in to signify the resurrection. At that time, then our bodies will be changed as to the adoption by the laws of God, in that the law has already been fulfilled in us. On the inside, as to that Christian individual, as to the spirit, the angelic person, then it will be made manifest as this life of Christ into our mortal genes. And the Bible said we shall outshine the noonday sun, and everyone that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as the Lord is pure. All right, so we see what a wonderful salvation this is. And we say again, as to remind you, 483 years, and then Messiah came, and he made an end of sin. But the prophecy was 490 years upon thy people, Daniel, which is the Jews. But God, not counting the time while they're out of their homeland, when 483 years come, the Jews were dispersed. They went into all the world. They were driven out of the presence of God, blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So we see the last 2,000 years of the 6,000 years, which is the finishing of God's label, is then given to the Gentiles, less 7 days, as we would say, to bring in the millennium, added to the tribulation period just before that. So then we realize that where we're living now, that Mr. Bush, as I said, calendar-wise, on his second administration, will run right into the middle of the last week, as before the seventh millennium, or this, as we call the millennium reign, coming in. All right, when we look at this, we see that something is taking place, and if it's that close, in that we're in the 90s, and that would be in about 93, the starting of that thing as to calendar-wise, then the church has to go out of here. It has to be translated out of here. Or that is, the change must come, because inwardly you've already been translated like Enoch into the marvelous kingdom of God. The law and the prophets till John, death was conquered in your behalf at Calvary, and then your inner man has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And it's all over for you, because the body of that death, it's there no more. The body's been buried in the lovely name of Jesus, Father, remission of sin. Like I was telling my wife today, you know, not to remit your sins, but for the remission of sin. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood, and what took your sins away wasn't the water, it was the blood. But you're baptized into his death to be identified with him and to be dead to the world in the body, that the body of death is gone, and that you're baptized for the dead. See, to show that your sins have been remitted, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we see this great, wonderful thing taking place. What is this that has taken place at Calvary? It's so great and it's so mighty. What is this? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul immediately after Calvary had such a unique ministry as to the ministry of the mysteries of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And such a one was caught up to the third heaven, saying, it's not me, It's not me that speaketh, but God that speaketh from within me. And it's not me living, but Christ that liveth. And I'm now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Paul had been bruised so much, been whipped about 5 times, stoned with stones till he was a dead man. You know, but God had taken over. And even when he was stoned to death, picked him up that it might be Christ living, that it might be that thing of the resurrection. God had done, Jesus choosing 12 apostolic leaders as the foundation of that great city. And then from that time, the lifeless stones of the church being built upon these foundations, as into a holy priesthood, as to that pyramid city of New Jerusalem, up to Paul the apostle, which was in the third heaven, having the oversight, looking down. Here Paul being the great seer of the all-seeing eye of divinity. We brought that out as it is on a dollar bill as to what it means, you know. A certain thing on the dollar bill, we brought it out as to what it meant. And as to the capstone, we brought that out the other night. And the thing that we did not bring out is down at the bottom of it there, so the scroll 1776, where it says Novus Nodo Seclorum. See, which means a new order. So then, here we see this pyramid city, which is the bride of Christ, lively stones built up into a holy priesthood. I remind you again, where the Bible said, and I will remember you when I come to make up my jewels and spare you as a man would spare his son. And so then built up into this holy thing, we see Paul having established those churches, and then they were chosen for the church ages, and then at the end of the church ages, we find Paul the apostle, and yet not Paul, but Jesus the Christ, standing in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, or that is to say, within the midst of the church ages. So again, we see Paul as this great and mighty angel with 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea. And the head up to the throne as to the third heaven, the child up here, as to symbolizing the head, because the head is the knowledge of God and the revelation of Jesus. And Paul was the one that went for a bride. You could say that was Paul's bride as to Paul's revelation. But the Bible said it was the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto Jesus Christ, that intermediate most revelation might reveal to him that he was God. And today is to your measure that same revelation, in that you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. It comes forth as to whatever measure you allow it to be on the inside of you, to reveal to you that you are God Almighty, and the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, members in particular, whatever the measure might be, that you are his flesh and bone, and that you alone dwell in that revelational light that no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, because the God of this world hath blinded their eyes that they cannot see when good cometh. So then the eyes of their understanding they cannot see, whereas the Bible says, I remind you again, that this light shined in the midst of this intellectual darkness, but they comprehended it not. But it said unto children of light, that you might comprehend the heights, the depth, the length and the width with all children of God. So then that's what we're doing. As to the unveiled mysteries of God, then we're comprehending the mysteries. We're understanding the mysteries, because we are they that dwell beyond the veil. We are they that dwell in heaven. And that's why the Bible said, you're not of this world. God has chosen you out of this world, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. And the Bible said, ye that are in heaven, rejoice forevermore, for I have made you to set together in these heavenly places. So then we can see here, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul, here he is, as to say, Jesus, that great angel, for his head is there at the throne. Jesus, the head of the church, sitting on the throne. And the Bible said concerning this angel, there was a rainbow about his head. And then seeing this great foot that was in the flesh, and this great foot that was in the spirit, as to say the land and the water, as to symbolically speaking. And here he is with his hands stretched out, knowing that he is the great and mighty Christ. There he is, see, and he is swearing at Calvary with his hands lifted up to heaven, that it is now finished, Heavenly Father. The stone, the capstone coming, crying, grace, grace, grace. And there he stands at Calvary with his hands lifted to heaven, and suspended between heaven and earth, They stand saying, and the fullness of time. For the Bible said, and when time was no more, it would be the fullness of time. And that God would send his son in the fullness of time, in the fullness of the dispensation of time. And that he would gather all things in heaven into the ark, and all things into the earth into the ark, and all things, whatever it might be, into the earth, under the earth, in heaven, all into the body of Jesus Christ. So we know that in that ark with the creeping things down in the bottom as Noah. And the Bible said this is the waters of Noah, and that that was a symbolic thing of Calvary. And we know that into that level as to where the door was found, there went another type of people as the walking things. And we know that in that upper chamber as to where that little a light was of the window, there went the flying things. So we know that in heaven are the angelic as represented by the birds, and we know that in the earth are the walking as represented by the beast, and that man relates to the beast because of the fall. And unless he's sons of God, he's nothing but beast and some brute beast made to be taken and burned. And we know that in the lower part of the earth, that those that go under the earth are the weasels and the snakes and all of those things that hide in holes. So we know that in Christ Jesus, that everything was taken into his body. The creeping things of darkness was taken in, and those things as to the earth was taken in, and those things that were heavenly. So then he made in his body as to that which was the image of sin to trap the creeping things and to take them down into the lower part of the earth. Thus he was made sin as God withdrew from him, and he was smitten because of that sinful image being my sin, that I might be made the image of righteousness in God or in Christ Jesus. And we know that in this he gathered all things in the earth into the body of the Lord Jesus, regardless to what it was as to that which would encompass the people, for his blood upon Calvary, upon the seat of Atonement today has allowed grace to be over the entire world as to the cover of the cosmos. So then we know that he hath forgiven the sins of the world. And the Bible said he has taken away the sins of the world, in that he folded up the law and laid it away. So then we know that while the blood is on the seat of atonement, we know that sin cannot be seen by God the Heavenly Father. For God so loved us while we were yet in our sins that he gave the blood of his son for us, the life of his son. That is to say, when he come for us, we were among the sinners, and he had to pour out the rain upon the just and the unjust to cover all of them with his grace, gathering them into the radius and confines of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he had to take them all in that he might get to us, and he's still working with us. And the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said the fire and the brimstone immediately came down. Which the very day that we're actually changed in our body, that will be the end of the grace on the sinners, because there won't be any elect among the sinners anymore. And immediately that's the expulsion, because when the blood is taken away, the grace and the light is taken away, and they're no longer in heaven. But they are then in gross darkness as to intellectual ignorance, and not even enough understanding to find a medical relief, in that there will be no healing medicines in that day, and death cannot bring them the relief that's to die out of their misery through the tribulation period. So I say this again, and a lot of times when I say this, I go over to say that I know when I say this, people draw upon me. Nevertheless, the Gentiles are in heaven. At their ball games, they are in heaven. At their frolics, they are in heaven. Because the rain is upon the just and the unjust. The grace of God is upon all the world. And that is heaven. And they eat and they drink and they frolic, and they turn the grace of God as to this dispensational grace into lasciviousness. That is to say, they don't do the right things. They don't say the right things. They don't go to the right places, but they take advantage of the grace of God and turn it into lasciviousness as to their own gullible lust and desire. And I say again, as I always say, if you don't believe that you're in heaven right now, wait wait until you get into hell and when you're in the lake of fire and when you're tormented beyond the wildest imagination and people are gnashing on you with their teeth and you can't get a swallow of water, you can't get anything to eat, and you can't get any relief from your pain and misery, then you'll know how to differentiate between heaven and hell. So then we find first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. But remember that grace will soon be over. The blood will soon come off of the seat of atonement. Because the church is the lot will go out of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the world of gaze. And soon they'll be taken out. Already they have been taken out. And already they're not in this world. They've been chosen out of the world. They're chosen out of the flesh. And they're not in the flesh. They cannot ever come into condemnation because there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, which are not in the flesh but in Christ. And the Bible said you're not in the flesh, therefore you cannot walk after the flesh, for you are not in the flesh. And in that you cannot walk after the flesh, you cannot fulfill the desires and the lust of the flesh. You are in the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit. And God has rent the veil in twain. I say again, the Bible says, made within himself two are both twain, Lord and Christ. And then as to make of this, Paul said, one new man. But that by putting away sin, that the Bible said that he rent the veil in twain, or he separated the Lord from the Christ or the body from the Spirit, that you might be separated as individuals, your spirit from your body, your spirit into heaven as to the things of God, and your body of death buried in a watery grave, that it may never be counted against you again as sinful flesh. So we see what God has done for us. He's taken away our sins. Our sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Messiah came, made an end of sin 483 years later from the time of the prophecy. And then we find that little space in between the 483 years and the 7 years of tribulation. 7 years separated from the 483. One day the 7 years is coming back to the 483. And it's going to make 490 years that will be determined upon the Jews as to the prophecy of the angel. And that will be the end. That will be the end. But right now, that little rent veil is between the 483 and the 7, and now it is the dispensation of heaven. It is the church ages, and the fullness of time came, and the world passed away. And Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, and this is heaven. All the way from Calvary, all the way over here. And so then ye are they that dwell in heaven. And John, when he looked, even the devil was in heaven. He saw him over in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, and he saw the dragon in heaven. And he saw the woman heavy with child as being Israel, or that which must bring forth as the 144,000 that's to meet the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Zion. And so then we see as the church heavy with child, ready to bring forth there in this wonderful atmosphere of God, as you see the church today. See Mary going up to be taxed, heavy with child. About that time, you see the IRS and the heavy taxing, as we predicted years ago it would be at the time of the birth of the man-child. That is to say, they that are coming into the revelational mind of God, even the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, of course, at the third heaven, and the third mind. These, all of these as to coming to the birth, the woman as the church, she is under the blood. She is in the days of grace. She is in heaven. And the red dragon as to the old serpent that's on his belly, that old blood life is laying in there, that old intellectual thing of the tree of knowledge and diplomacies of life, and it's laying in there right at the mouth of the matrix to devour the child just as quick as it comes forth. But the Bible said when the child was born, even as to the headship, even Jesus, it went straight up to the throne. It went up to the third heaven. In that heaven and earth must pass away. We know then that the second heaven must pass away because Lucifer being in it has defiled it and it must not be anymore. You know, it's a strange thing, but when you speak of the word heavens passing away, the Bible speaks of the heavens being on fire and the heavens passing away. The Greek word for that as to Uranus, which is the root word for uranium, which is the principal thing as to atomic power, are particles. It goes back to that thing of heaven, or the heavens rather, passing away. So then we see that there is something that is taking place. And we realize that in the day that we're living in, and the hour that we're living in, that old intellectual dragon is in there saying, as I say so often, every time someone gets into the church or a child is born into the church, as to something for God, the old red dragon, the old intellectual mind, the old blood life, as the bed of passions is saying, let's make a ball player out of him. Let's make some kind of a celebrity out of him. Put him into some kind of position to where he'll be a dignitary. Or let's do something with him. That old intellectual mind that devoured Adam and Eve as to death. And that the Bible said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, for to be carnally minded is death. That thing is ready to devour. That thing is ready to kill. But now with this new thing coming, the Bible said, and Satan shall wear out the saints of God, and then they shall rise and take the kingdom, and they shall possess it forever and ever. When shall this be? At the sounding of the last trump in the days of the voice, with the finishing of the mystery of God. For great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, we're made a steward of the mysteries. So then is the coming to the thing as to the acknowledgement of the mind that you belong to God, and that you have a right to understand your privileges and being children as to heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Then now, beloved, are you the sons of God. And what a great honor God has bestowed upon you, that you've already passed from death unto life, already the children of God, already the sons of God, and already has been translated into heaven, into the marvelous kingdom of God. And the world that was in you is already gone out of you, and now it's the kingdom of God within you. So then you're already in the great inheritance of God, as having received all things that pertain unto life. So then we realize that we are the children, as the songwriter said, that God has set free. And that we already have all things that pertain unto life. And that our shield of faith can already quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And that we can already say what we will and doubt not in our heart. And it will come to pass, and we'll have whatsoever we say. All right, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, what then are we saying? We are saying, as I said this morning, that we've been baptized for the dead. And I brought out that today, how that they that were under the law could not be made perfect without us. So we see that the expulsion is almost at hand. Jesus said at Calvary, I beheld him, even Satan, as lightning fall from heaven. Well, that is to say, I've destroyed him that hath power over death. Well, that is to say, the body of the Lord Jesus represented that serpent of Moses and the old dragon, and God withdrew from it and smote it and done away with it, and forever the old dragon is gone out of heaven. He is no more in the presence of the Father. Jesus died out of the presence of the Father as the serpent hanging upon the cross, that I might live in the presence of the Father eternally. And that, as it was with the brazen serpent, back to the brazen altar of the evening time, the lamb offered upon that as to God the consuming fire, the fire that could never go out under the altar in the days of Israel. So we see this brazen serpent as it was in the days of Moses, that if anybody looked upon it, then the bite of those serpents would not bother them. So we're free from the old demon spirit that would like to inhabit our body. I say this so often, the whole dispute is over the body. The Bible said that the dispute was between the devil and between the angel over the body of Moses. And the whole dispute is as to whether Satan will have the body or God the eternal spirit will have the body. In that the body of the woman is that reproduces as to the image of the husband, in that he is the head of the body. Jesus, the head of the church, the great mystery Paul spoke of concerning Christ and the church. So then we know that this last trumpet had the sound. When it sounded, that was to be the finishing of the mysteries of God. Because the things of God have an end. Brother Branham came in the end time to bring us great, wonderful things. Being symbolic of Jesus, we brought this out concerning Moses, and that Jesus was on the other side of Calvary. That there was no Calvary until Jesus went to Calvary. And that, as the angel said, having forerun my first coming, John, then you're going to forerun my second coming, which again places that thing in the same perspective, bringing it back again as to the spirit of Elijah, and that John came in the spirit of Elijah. And then we see that having brought this out in detail on tape as you have it, it indicated that though the light came and though the light was within Jesus, that the world did not comprehend the light, and the light shined in darkness, him being the light of the world, but the darkness comprehended it not. And so then, when you and I were born into this kingdom of God, thus we have become the light, in that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into the kingdom. So we see we are the light of the world. But as it was, as with Brother Branham and the pillar of fire that we brought out the other night, God looking at Israel through that pillar of fire, see, it was confined within the body. And all they ever got out of it was intellectual quotes as to the law, and took away the spirit and the quickening of it. And when Brother Branham went away, as to those quotes that were folded up, laid away, and like we said, is that cornerstone, when they got there, having a picture of the cornerstone where Brother Branham had placed the message within it, but when they got there was no more message. And I said that that cornerstone had to do with Brother Branham as the cornerstone of this end time revival, and the little body of Brother Branham going back to the dust, back to as to the bones and the dust laying in the grave, it was that little cornerstone that the message had departed out of the body, and now the great Christ had gone beyond the veil as that of Moses as to the lesser light, in that they seen this thing through the veil of the man of God, and they could not follow it. So then they could not understand it, as Brother Branham said, even I believe to Billy Paul, that even you don't understand it, Billy. But the thing is, when I saw them in the vision and all of them lined up at the grave and the darkness coming on them, and then later when I went into Indiana and there they were, sure enough, the followers in reality was at the grave just the way that I'd seen it. When I come in here, I was going to try to bypass, and I thought, Lord, I can't disturb them because that's their pastor, that's the prophet that they love, that's the man of God. Having seen his departure, spoke of his departure as to the year that he would go off of the scene and the thing that would happen to him and the things that would follow. I saw the thing, but there they were at the tomb, and the evening was falling, because in the vision the darkness was falling. And I couldn't go this way because there was a fresh grave down here, and I couldn't get through. And I couldn't go backwards because I would back over the tombstones. And I thought, my God, what am I going to do? And something said, you'll go just exactly this way as in the vision. And when I went that way, I had to get out by all of them leaving. And I thought, Lord, they're going to be upset. But believe it or not, as I pulled up behind the car, they gracefully got into their cars and they went away from the grave and left it all by itself as I went outside of the graveyard through the means of that entrance. All right, or that exodus there that we went out. Now, so we know that this trumpet had to sound. Brother Branham coming, all of these things begin to fall into place. But the light shined in darkness and they could not comprehend it. And there it was, see, as to the rent, bringing the rent veil as when the head was split open, that this light might spring out to the church. And that as that light spring out from Jesus at the crucifixion, there had to come forth the Christ, which was Paul the apostle, as Paul the revelator, come forth to the members of the body as to the church. The Spirit of Christ entered into Paul, and up to the third heaven he went as the seer of that age, as the Christ of that age, that we might have this glorious light coming down to us in this end time, and God giving us a symbolic thing as to Brother Branham, as to the return of that in the day of Brother Branham. Then we see that as the thing that took place. And Brother Branham so wanted to finish the mysteries, but he said in the even in the thunders, he said when they went by, there were seven bangs like that. And said that they came forth in an unknown tongue and he could not interpret them. Which means that again, as we've said, that within the mysteries of the thunders is the rapture of the church. And as Brother Branham also said, this will not be revealed in that this is to come directly to the individuals. And we've made the statement that when it is not to be revealed, it is not to be revealed to them that are without. Them that are without is not given to them to know the mysteries of God. And Brother Branham being numbered with that, and to Moses bringing them out of Egypt with great signs and wonders, leaving them in a wilderness as to the hunting and as to those things as on a bridge, in trying to explain when they couldn't grasp it or get a hold of it. And the wonders today are wandering around everywhere. And like Brother Gandhi just coming from Singapore, standing all over the world everywhere, that they're fighting with each other and cutting with each other and trying to decide which is the preeminence, which I made the statement that with Jesus going out, the Jews went out. With Brother Branham going out, his followers went out. In that this thing that came in was not a Brother Branham following. It was the seed of the serpent. Jesus, as long as he walked with God, he was the Son of God. He'd done the great miraculous of God and the pillar of fire, as to his blood and the atonement was there, and God was looking at the people through that blood. That is to say, baptized with fire and the blood taking away their sins, as fine blood runs together in the type. So then while he was here, while he was on the scene, Jesus was doing these great things. But then there come the time when he said, I am he. And with that, as to the Gentiles, knowing that as to the Jews they would crucify him, he made it very plain and said, lest ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And thus came, as we would say, another God. And yet it was not another God. It was God himself. But in that they were giving the praise and the honor to the outer man, not knowing that that was deity. Then it brought the wrath of God, and as it was with Moses, it went ill with Moses when Moses said, shall I bring forth water from the rock, instead of saying your Father, your heavenly Father will give you water. And so then he was aggravated by the rebels and said something there. So then we see Jesus had to do this, and with that, the glory of God departed as he went to Calvary, and thus he was made sin as to the serpent, going back to Brother Branham, as to that side, as to the serpent seed. And then the following spring up as to that Roman Catholic power, which was the serpent, and that thing that was cast out of heaven as the dragon. And in the world today, it has continued until just recently, that old serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel, as through grace, getting in the human beings that are under grace, as to those that are without, and he is in the heavens. So then John saw him in heaven. As it was then with Brother Branham, as a repeat of the end time, to show us that something had to happen. What is the finishing of the mysteries? As Jesus said there, it is finished, Father. As Jesus unveiled it that it might be preached to the church ages, as those seals on the back of that book, in that Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. That is to say, as the seven seals of God having to do with the church ages, or the candlesticks before the throne of God. Here, as when he said it is finished and the book is closed, and on the backside is a scroll, it was sealed. Each one with a seal as to the backside to close the book. And it is said in the Revelation, after the revelation of John, as he was exiled to the little isle of Patmos a few short years later, 96 AD, here comes the Lamb to take the book, because he alone could open the book. And when he loosed the seals that had been sealed as to the seven seals of God, in that a seal is a spirit, as the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit by which ye are sealed, in that ye also are an epistle that's known and read of all men. And of course, we brought out some things concerning the book and the books. But anyway, we see him taking the book out of the hands of the Ancient of Days. And when he opens this book and to the book of redemption, then we find that within this book, that these wonderful things are there. That is, to the allegoric types of those things of the Old Testament that Jesus finished when nobody else could fulfill those things. Then it is found as to the redemption, as to what Moses said about redeeming the land, and then coming to Pentecost as to the day of the freedom of debts, and bringing this redemption in, as to this day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Enter into the rest of the Lord, as we preached to you in the past. So then we find that this book has been opened. the book, even Jesus, the volume of the book, it has been rent, it has been opened up. And as to those things that we see in this book, as to whose name is in the book of life, and as to the saints, as the books are open, as they stand to judge the world, when it will be said, and whosoever hath done this unto you hath done it unto me, even as unto the least of you. So the saints will judge the world. Realizing that this trump had to sound at Calvary, we see then that the trump did sound at Calvary. It did sound, and the great angel stood there. See, all that is to say, when the voice of the seventh angel comes forth, so it says, and in the days of the voice, then we ask, when will it sound? I've told you a number of times that the Bible records that it sounded. For it says in Revelation 10 and 7, in the days of the voice, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. But just over in the 11th chapter, 11:15, it said, and he sounded. And when he sounded, it is said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. So it's obvious that he sounded in the end of the world, and when he sounded, that was the closing out. For when the veil is rent, the revelation comes. And John wrote about the revelation of Calvary, called the expose, after the revelation of Jesus Christ, saying the time is at hand. Oh, that is the fullness of time at Calvary, that when the revelation comes, even in the end time, in our day, the time is at hand. Let him that is unjust be unjust still, and let him that is just be just still. And so the bride has made herself ready, keeping herself that the evil one toucheth her not. Then on the day of our birth into the world, and the day of our Calvary, and the day that we believe in faith, makes us perfect in Christ Jesus. Purifying our heart by faith, thus she is ready. When she hears this as to the expose, as to who she is and to what she is, for God has sanctified us by the faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he hath sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus. Therefore, a lot of times I quote it like this, saying that, and God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Lord Jesus Christ, having predestinated us in Christ unto good works as to his workmanship. And the Bible said, justifying us, sanctifying us, and then the Bible said he hath glorified us in that Jesus walked upon the mount of there with Moses and Elijah as to the transfiguration, and appeared in glory as being the body of the church, the head of the church, not as from the manger, I say, to the cross, but from the manger to glory, to show you that you didn't have to die. And Paul said a great mystery concerning the translation of the church and the change in Thessalonians, that Jesus came back down, going to Calvary, that I might not have to die. And whereas from the manger to the cross for him, it's from the manger into the heavens for me. And so I went up into the heavens. I joined that there where the head is, and I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the change of the body. Many, many things we could say, because as I say, we've hardly got into our subject tonight. But saying these things as a repeat, going back as a review, trying to situate these things in your mind to bring them to a place to where we can bring out as what Paul called the mystery, that we should not all sleep. So then, I'd like for you to stand with me as we worship the Lord together. Appreciate your kind attention tonight. We're just now getting to some things concerning Calvary, but this I want to leave with you. We sing so often the song, "In time shall be no more, no more, no more, and time shall be no more." Let's sing that little chorus as we give the altar call tonight. The fullness of time at Calvary, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, is to the revelation, the expose, for the time is at hand. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand
on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing that with me now. Our time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more. Sing like this now. Remember, all of the works of God are known unto him from the beginning. And time's no more, no more, no more. And time shall be no more. You're not time creatures now. For the angel, he stands, the foreknowledge of God, on the sea and the land, and time is no more. You're not time creatures, for time's no more, no more, no more. Remember, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. And ye pass from death unto life, and the world passed away, and time and shadows passed away, because your shadows are beyond Calvary. The valley of the shadows of those fallen angels, the world been a valley to God from the heavenly throne. A table prepared before us as to this charity, this feast of charity, and the rod and the staff as to the spirit, as to the word, as to comforting us. We fear no evil, for he is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. As the angel, when he put the ring upon my finger, although when he showed me the death of Brother Branham and Hallelujah, and then going on to Miami, and the angel appeared to us there, when he put the ring upon my finger, saying, I never leave thee nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. And the scripture said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee always, even unto the end of the world. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Could it be that the church is waking up? For when they awoke, they saw his glory. The world is hard and fast asleep. Like the little story, as to the church sleeping, remember, as to the pricking of the finger in the little story, and then came Prince Charming and the kiss of charity, awaken the sleeping beauty. As to the bewitching, and the Bible said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? As to the bewitching, the witch brought the curse. And as to the fairy godmother in the little story, said, I can't change that. But I will say, at a certain time, when something comes, then she shall be awakened. Time shall be no more. Remember the time of awakening now. When they awoke, they saw his glory. When they awoke, they saw his glory. If you can awake, then you can see his glory. Run, time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more. Porter, that a man wants to die, and after this the judgment, we've died through Jesus Christ. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and unto the world. Paul said, the world is dead to me, the flesh is dead to me.
reckon yourselves to be dead unto the world, for you're baptized for the dead, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer are you living but Him. Therefore you've met your appointment with death. And God looked down, the Bible said, heard the groaning of the prisoners. And in a day, as accepted, God secured them, or succored, that they would be without sin and couldn't die. So we can't die anymore, for sin is gone. But unto the world it's appointed once to die, for they've never been baptized in His lovely name. And they must meet that appointment as to death. But in that Jesus met it for us, then we went off to sleep, having been baptized for the dead, and then now we've gone off to sleep. That is to say, if we fail to see His coming, we go off to sleep. Or many have gone off to sleep, not to die, but gone off to sleep. That Jesus, as He said, I will awake them, as He awoke Lazarus, He will awake them. But they that are dead shall never be awakened. But after the millennium, they'll be taken out. Their spirits are in hell. The one that went to sleep in Christ, their spirit is in paradise. And they whose spirits are in paradise, having been baptized for the dead, when they pass over the scene of action, they go to sleep. And their spirits will come someday to re-enter the body to awake them. But they that are in hell shall not be awakened, not even at the chains. But after the great millennium, 1,000 years shall pass, and then God will call them out of the grave. That is to say, because hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire, then hell isn't eternal. But the lake of fire, the Bible said, eternal flames, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Therefore their souls will come out of hell, for the Bible said, in hell shall deliver up the dead that is in it, and the grave shall deliver up the dead that is in them, and death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. And these were cast into the lake of fire alive. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So then you are blessed people today to be Christians. That's why we sing, in time shall be no more. Can we sing it once again? And time shall be. And time shall be no more. Say it with me now. For the angel, he stands. Lift up your hands. On the sea and the land. And time shall be. One more time together. We'll sing this now. The altars are open. Our time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. You love the Lord Jesus and die. We'll praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And will yield Him glory or evil. For His blood has washed away every stain. The altars are open. And I, why don't we all come to the altar tonight? To make a new dedication to God, in that we know the days of the Gentiles are at an end, and the 7 years is fixing to be joined to the 483, and that dispensation as to the Gentile ages of that heavenly thing will be closed, and the veil will not be rent anymore. And the door
to heaven will be closed, which is the rent veil. I saw a door open at the end of the church ages, Revelation 4. The door that Peter had opened, John saw it open, and a voice had come up hither. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And will give him glory all ye people. For his blood has washed away every sin. And he was here all the time. My Lord was here all above you, in you, and through you, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. Sing it with me now. And he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now, oh, now I know that Jesus touched me and he made For he touched me. Oh yes, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. You love the Lord? Can we lift our hands up, sing another little chorus together, close our eyes, sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, all the death triumphed. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forevermore. Oh, it's gone. I saw the stone, it's rolled back. Gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, all the death. Don't you feel that he's triumphed over death? Death don't have any more power over you. You got power over all the powers of the enemy, and the Bible said death is an enemy. Remember, you're free from death now. So it's gone. The heart of stones roll back gone. The bodily tomb, it's simply gone. To sit at my Father's side, the body of that death is gone. At death, your spirit went back to God who gave it. Your inner angelic man is the angels, is dwelling in heaven, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Until the time of the restitution, and what the change and the rapture is a revelation that will be revealed to you, that through faith, as Enoch was translated, you'll find yourself in glory. So it's gone. The stone is rolled back gone. The tomb. Death triumph, it's gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forever. Remember, while they're playing this song, listen now. The word rapture is not in the Bible. It is not a biblical word. It is a besetting word. It's a man-made application, just like millennium is. If you're not careful, you'll sit around waiting for something that'll never happen to you, because the church has misinterpreted even the natural word rapture. Folks, you are changed inwardly from glory to glory, like a person going to school, moving from understanding to understanding and light to light and glory to glory, to come to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. What does the word rapture mean? Caught up. The word rapture means caught up, like you would be picked up off of the earth. Will you be caught up? Sure you'll be caught up. The Bible said he shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the Bible said he shall come forth, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Job said, I'll wait for my chain. But folks, remember, this is a change from glory to glory. And the purchased possession is the body, and it's already been paid for. And you have to wit the redemption of the body. Those that do not come into the understanding will not wit the redemption of the body. They will not be changed. Only the bride. See, so you're not waiting for a rapture. You are moving in God from glory to glory till you are changed. The rapture has nothing to do with that. Even to your change, the rapture has nothing to do with that. The rapture is just one little thing that the body is caught up after the glory of God is finished with his work inside of man. Once the spirit is finished with man on the inside, he will be standing there as the glorified human being, having gone through these wonderful things of God and the transitional changes. And then he will be caught up after that one little word, rapture, has to be caught up to him. So don't get beside yourself. Don't let something overthrow your faith. I'm teaching you that you must be, as Paul the Revelator came to get the bride, being an overseer, you must be in that revelating church to pray for the spirit of revelation, that God would enlighten your understanding to comprehend heights, depth, and width, because at the time of the revealing and the revelation, which was at the Calvary, the time was at hand. That was the end of the world. John brought it in 96 AD, as we say. He saw it. And now here it is over here in the end time, and all of a sudden it's being revealed again. And the mistress is coming, which means the days of the Gentiles is at end, and that the revelation is at hand, which is the translation or the rapture of the church.
which fits the calendar in that the 2,000 years is almost finished, 10 years, and the 6,000 years will be finished, and 7 years of that 10, calendar-wise, pointing to the tribulation. So the church has had to do something. Something has had to happen to the church. Brother Branham's been dead for 25 years this coming Christmas, and he said he never could understand the mysteries of the thunders. So those mysteries must be revealed to the church, that it might change the church, and the mysteries must be finished. At the change of the church, when it was said that 11:15 and the trumpet sounded, and then the voice said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. To show you where and when that trumpet sounded. You understand what I'm saying? We sing in time shall be no more, and time shall be no more. The heart of stone is rolled away. At death by Calvary, to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus, buried with him in baptism, baptized for the dead. Your spirit went back to God who gave it. So where are you today? You are in heaven and sitting in heavenly places. And you are to rejoice forevermore because you cannot sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. God took away your sins. Don't that make you happy? Because when sin went away, death went away. All the world is spending their money trying to perfect life, trying to prolong life, and trying to find life. But folks, you have life abundantly filled up and overflowing. And you pass from that world of vanity. And you're not in the world. He raptured you out of the world, the law and the prophets since John. Then he translated you into the kingdom of God, and we're preaching the kingdom of God. And the name Jesus has an open door as to the remission of sin, that ye should be in heaven. And the church has been in heaven from 483, reaching over to the seven, when the earthly perspective will come back in for the finishing of the 7 years of tribulation, determined upon the people of the earth, that is to say the Jew. To bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision, to anoint the most holy, as Daniel said. So folks, you've been in heaven, but it wasn't revealed to you. Because, as Paul said, it would have been out of season. Like little children, you had to go through your training and grow up. But in the day that is revealed to you, even as Brother Branham said, once he finished his work, Brother Branham used the term, then the revealed. Well, that is to say, the Lord finishing his work on the inside of you, going through the church and the church world, not even seeing it. Then when it's all finished, as you have seen it, in that they that are in the darkness of this world, having eyes they see not, having ears they hear not, in that Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, the god of darkness, hath blinded their eyes, even their understanding, eyes of understanding, that they cannot comprehend this light as to the heights, the depth, the width, the length. So then, as your day has come to enter into his rest, they that have entered into his rest have ceased from their own works. Israel did not enter into his rest. They could not believe that God would take care of the giants. And they feared the powers of opposition. And their unbelief kept them out of the land of Canaan. And God destroyed all of the elders and they died in the wilderness. The earth opened up, as do we say, the flesh swallowing you up. With your gullible desire, being made of the dust, and it swallowed them up, and the children went into Canaan. And today the elders are dying in the wilderness with their intellectual ritualistics as to religion. And what is God doing? He's got a new birth as to the children, and he's raising them up. The new birth, as the child caught up to the throne, and he's taking them into Canaan. So then you're free from sin and death. You're free from sorrow. You're free from corruption. You're free from error. No one can lay anything to your charge. And you've been in heaven all the time. You've been in heaven all the time. He is above you. He is in you. He is through you. Because you're his children. In him you have your being, your state of being. Your life consists of him. First heaven and second heaven and third heaven. Don't you understand? Jesus said, is your heart yet hardened? Can you not yet understand? This is a pilgrimage as to a transformation of mind from an earthly Egypt to a heavenly Canaan. By the way of the wilderness of intellectual reasoning, confronting spiritual thinking, and godly understanding has to eradicate the shadows and the infiltration to come out on the other side as to be children of God. I wish we had time to go into it and really explain it. But folks, time is at hand. And the end of the world came at Calvary. And heaven came in. And now you've developed to the extent that you can comprehend. And any time you comprehend anything as to say, by his stripes you were healed, all in Calvary, when you comprehend it, then it becomes effective in your body. You have to come to the preaching and to the knowledge. And when you come to the understanding as to translation by faith, in that Enoch went away by faith, then comes the change, because it has taken roots in the heart, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and by faith you're translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. I am in the kingdom of God tonight. When this message as to the mystery is finished, then within time shall be no more. But with you it's finished at Calvary, for you that can see. As to whatever your measure is, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever the measure of the mind of Christ is in you, as to the first heaven, the second heaven. I'd like to present you, Paul said, body, soul, and spirit, blameless, or I'd like for you to go on to the full reward, or I'd like for you to go on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. I've espoused you to one even as a virgin, that you might be spotless before the Lord Jesus. He that keepeth himself is spotless, and the evil one toucheth him not. So as to comprehend is to wit the redemption of that body which is the purchased possession, to bring the change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, it's so hard for you to understand, many of you, but it's so easy to understand. Like Brother Branham said, I wish my lovely audience could be in this dimension that I'm in and see the things that I'm seeing as a vision I saw when I said, do you see these things in heaven? And I saw the great mass of people upon the earth, and I realized they didn't see them. Brother Branham, the inner man, was in heaven, walking in heaven, and the little body had to go to sleep when his course was finished, being symbolic. Lord Jesus near, being God manifested in the flesh, in the earth according to his measure, even as our Savior was God in the fullness, so are ye today, the members in particular, God manifested in the flesh as to the measure of that mind, as the word of the Spirit, the sovereignty of that life that you receive. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. Give me a key, friend. Grow sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter. Can you sing that with me? Grow sweeter each day, grow sweeter each day, his love grow sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter each day. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, life is over. Still here,
and us. Also, looking over into the city, but my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it half. Can you sing that with me? For after all, life is over, and my burden has been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain of so tall, looking over into the city. My Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. And across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Sing it with me now. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin, and I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior along the way. I asked him for a place to stay where there's happiness and love that's true. Sing it with me now. He said across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Set across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. One more time. And across the bridge, there ain't no sorrow. Across the bridge, there's pain. Are you across the bridge? Sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Let's give him a hand, can we? You love the Lord? How do you feel like you got over the bridge? What a wonderful, wonderful thought it is to know that we're Christians and we could go on and go on talking about this good old way.
Hallelujah. Let us go on and go on. No wonder they worship the Lord all night long. You know? Give me a key, Rotator. I thank thee for the valleys I've walked through today, for the darker the valleys, the more I learn to pray. And I found thee as the lilies bear blooming by the way. So I thank thee for the valleys that I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till the noon everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll through our eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will you be? Sing it with me. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll through our eternity? I ask you this question, will you be? Do you love the Lord? Let's lift our hands together, close our eyes. As I said, we could go on and go on worshiping the Lord. We appreciate tonight the wonderful spirit that you have in Christ Jesus coming to worship the Lord. I trust that something is beginning to dawn on you, because for you to be the ones, it's going to have to dawn on you. Remember that now. It must be preached. It must be heard. It must be believed. And then by faith, and it was translated that it shall not see death. So then, let's believe. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all men have not faith. But God has dealt unto every man a measure as to believing. But folks, mere believing will not take you into the kingdom of heaven. For the devil believes. But you must have faith, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word as to the heart. Man believeth with the heart, and by faith you're translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and that light breaking forth from within, glory to glory, as to the revelation, it finally begins to shine in your countenance, and wisdom makes your face to shine as to this life of Christ, as to the indwelling being made manifest in your mortal genes, even to the chains, as when he stood upon the mountain, when his raiment glistened, when it was so white as no fuller soap in the earth could whiten it. From the manger to glory. What a beautiful thing God has done for the saints. You love him? Once again, we're going to sing that little song where we'll praise him. And I will praise him. My will praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give him glory, all ye people. For his blood has washed away every stain. While we sing this again now, and I will. I'm going to ask Brother Ernie Correll to come up, if you will, and dismiss us tonight. It's a real privilege to have Brother Ernie here. The Lamb for sinners slain. Can you sing that with us? And we'll give him glory, all ye people. For his blood has washed away. One more time together as Ernie comes now. And I